Quickly and Quang! Danny Stewart, the Nerd King, and your host for this podcast.
And I am Blake Hickman, the Digital Media Director.
And I am Deontay from Saturday Night Nerds. And also
what, Deontay?
The newest family member in the Comically Inclined franchise.
Right, you are.
Absolutely. So Deontay is now joining us as a full-time host for Comically Inclined. And Deontay, it was a long time coming, and we are glad that you are here.
Thank you for having me, man. It's great to be a part of the team and see you guys blossom.
One of the easiest decisions we've ever made.
It's true. We were literally in the middle of a conversation, and I text Blake and said, hey, you want to ask Deontay to be a host? And he said, yes.
Then we went Dick Karate in the garage after that, me and Danny did.
Yeah.
We became even closer, best friends.
So much more room for activities. But yeah, Deontay, we'll get you a job title eventually.
That's a win.
Baby steps.
So pretty good week in nerd stuff. We are kind of out of having series to talk about, but where we have a lack of series, we had a makeup of trailers. We got a couple of new scenes from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. One of them was pretty interesting, and we can talk about that later. We also got the new Flash trailer, so we'll be talking about that as well. We also will be briefly discussing our Cowboys and Camping event coming up June 3rd and 4th as well. And then also we will get into what Saturday Night Nerds has got going on as well. I keep saying
We also got some trailer descriptions from CinemaCon.
Okay. Well, Blake, that sounds like some news. Do you want to give it to us?
I want to give it to you. Let's fire up the rumor mill. So this week, I'll be giving it to you. So
you bet your ass it's Marvel.
I actually miss saying that sometimes. I'm not going to lie. So Zoe Saldana says she doesn't know about the rest of the cast for Guardians, even though we know we're not going to get some of them back. But she said this is the end for her. This is her last time being Gamora. If they want to do Gamora, they can recast her. But after Guardians 3, she's done.
Wow. Oh, and our human relations specialist and fact checker extraordinaire, Ben, is in the comments. Ben, thank you for saying hi to the folks. Real quick, I want to run down the list. Ken Pachi, welcome. Nick Beck, always a pleasure to have you in the chat. Jesse Du, man, we missed you. I'm glad you're back. Yes. Billy Rhodes. Billy has been sending me ideas in the downtimes, and we will be having Billy as a guest coming up soonishly. I don't know, whenever it works out in his schedule. And then Ben is back. Also Taylor Burton, get in the comments.
Yes.
But yeah, so the Zoe Saldana announcing out loud that she's not going to be coming back sounds like somebody wants more money, is what that sounds like to me.
Because I don't necessarily at all like the things I've read. It's not her character ending. It's her just saying she herself is done, because she literally made the mention that, you know, if they want Gamora in another film, they're just going to have to recast her. So, yeah, definitely sounds like a more money thing for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like
more money. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge hit just right after Dave Bautista just stormed off. So
yeah. Yeah. And like, I feel like Gamora's character could do some more screen time and some more storytelling and intertwine in some more movies. So, I don't know. Well, I guess
it seems to me like what we're basically getting from these the MCU stars for Guardians of the Galaxy is like their mom and their dad broke up, and mom has always provided for them, but dad is living somewhere else now. And he's making new films over with this new lady, and they're like, we hate you. We're going to dad's house. He lets us have fun. And so good for them. And I hope that they can bring some good stuff to the DCEU. And I'm also hoping that in the absence of these kind of stars that were small and then got big, and now they're like, you know, we do big things. We get some more small actors who are willing to put in, you know, better performances and more love for the characters and do it for the art and then, you know, slowly build up giant paychecks and then leave. It's, I mean, it's obviously a cycle.
Yep. For sure. Also, Daniel Rickman, once again, as we talked about him, he's one of those that really is a really good source and 95% of the time is right. He sits there and says that Sony is eyeing Marvin Jones as Tombstone for the El Muerto movie that Sony's going to be doing. And this guy, if you're familiar with Black Lightning, I don't know if y'all have seen that. Yeah. He's the main antagonist on there. That's who that is.
So, okay. Marvin Jones, who's our eyeing. What else is he known for?
That's the main thing, but when I read it, there was only one more thing. And I don't think I ran out of space in my paper, so I just wrote the Black Lightning thing.
Yeah. Black Lightning guy.
the main antagonist. But Marvin Jones, let's see.
Yeah, whenever I was trying to come up with the intro for the show and I was reading through your notes, I was like, what the hell does this say?
Yeah. Oh, I wrote it small and fast.
Yeah.
I do some things in life like that. So
does he play Tobias Well in Black Lightning, or is that there's another antagonist in the show too, the painkiller, and then tattoo man as well.
What was his name? Marvin.
Marvin Crondon Jones. He's also a rapper.
Oh, okay. That sounds like Tobias Well.
Yeah, it is Tobias Well. It's Tobias Well. He played a voice on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. He played on the Shadow Force, and that's really Into the Dark in 2018. So,
yeah, that is a big dude too. He's very intimidating to look at.
Yeah, I kind of want to see.
Oh yeah, he is a big dude.
Okay. Dude, he was in She-Hulk.
I had no idea.
Yeah, he was in She-Hulk. He was maybe not.
They're not showing him on there.
Maybe not.
If anything, I think he would be like the porcupine.
He played the voice of Tombstone in Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. But no, he's definitely got the build. I think he could pull it off on a live cinema Tombstone. For sure. Big
dude, for sure. Yeah. From She-Hulk. Was it the guy that was Porcupine?
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. But yeah, I think that's a different guy, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, I don't remember if he took his mask off or not.
No, Porcupine did take his mask off. He was not albino, but there was a guy.
Roger Gawkey, podcast Porcupine.
Is this the podcast about Totally Spies, or is that a different place? Freaking Ben. No, who played the Man Bull? That's who I'm thinking of.
Oh,
that guy's albino.
See, Man Bull.
Yeah.
She-Hulk. Since we're talking about Ben's favorite show, let's take our sweet time.
Let's take our sweet, sweet time.
That is Nathan Hurd.
Yeah.
Nathan Hurd. Okay.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I follow him on TikTok. That's why I saw him, and they kind of look similar, and I was like, oh, that's that actor, but tisn't.
It's not. Smaller guy.
Much smaller, probably more rotund gentleman as well. He may be a tad more Rubenesque, as it were.
Linda Cardellini, as we all know, is Laura Barton.
Know her as the hottest version of Daphne, or of Velma.
Yeah. But anyways, she is going to be playing the voice of Lila, Rocket's love interest on Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So, getting a double whammy there, keeping it in the family, the Marvel family.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I heard her voice in that trailer. So the trailer I was talking about is the one where they're all naming themselves.
Yeah. Floor.
So that was I didn't recognize that as Linda Cardellini's voice. So it's stellar voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at CinemaCon, they got a private screening of Kraven, and Kraven is fully blown as rated R now. So they said it's going. Yeah, they said, and a lot of people were upset because they're like, Venom and Carnage should have been R. If you're going to do it R, why'd you wait to do it for Kraven instead of that? You're going to give us this crazy psycho serial killer and not give us an R movie, but you're going to give it to us for Kraven. But anyways, they said the trailer is bloody and gruesome, and it's pretty wicked. But Yeah, there, and we also get Rhino, version of Rhino seen in it. So I'm kind of anxious to see what Rhino's going to look like since we had that awful version of Paul Giamatti.
Are you kidding me? Paul Giamatti's Rhino was awesome. It was definitely the ultimate Rhino costume.
No. I like the actual Rhino, the suit he was in, but the actor, I think they could have picked a different actor. And I like Paul Giamatti on some things, not a whole lot, but not as the Rhino, man.
No.
It was almost too comical, that portrayal of him.
Never give Rhino a mechanical suit. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm just saying that the Ultimate Comics line, Rhino was a smaller guy in a cybernetic suit.
And the suit looked badass. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And like when he came running and it was on all fours going, I think that scene was pretty cool. But Paul Giamatti just kind of ruined it for me.
Oh, dude, check this out. My monthly tea club. I got a new shirt in.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is that
what does it say below? What does it say below Adams?
I'm trying to make it better, and I can't. It's hard in a mirror. It says Wednesday Adams Adam? Nevermore.
Nice.
Which Nevermore is the name of the academy that Wednesday goes to in the Wednesday series. So it's obviously a spoof on the Nevermind cover art for Nirvana. I loved the shirt. But we're not sponsored by Monthly Tea Club, but maybe if you guys go to Monthly Tea Club and enter hashtag comicallyinclined20, they'll be like, what the hell is this? We don't get a discount for that.
I've been meaning to sign up for that because you get some rad t-shirts out of that.
Dude, thing. I got another really awesome one in the mail yesterday that I'll have to show. I'll have to wear for another episode. Taylor Burton's in the comments. Tizzle Bizzle back.
Sexy Mountain Man.
Sexy Mountain Man. It's
my hero brother,
Beta Ray Burton. He's back.
I love that shirt though. I want one now.
Yeah. So Monthly Tea Club, it's like $17 a month, and you get to like pick out shirts, and then after a couple, like every six shirts, you get a free one.
Why it's called Taylor Jason Momoa?
Nice. It fits. Only he's sexier.
Yeah, this is true.
Yes, he's back. Back again. What's up, Jeff? Welcome to the show, Jeff, from Saturday Night Nerds as well. We've got a strong showing of the SSN crew tonight.
Heck yeah. Let's see what else we got on here. I mean, y'all have anything else y'all want to talk about Rhino? That's pretty good on that. Man, I'm pretty excited to see a new version of Rhino. I really am. Good.
Like Hulk, if you want to do Rhino justice, he's going to have to be CGI. It's going to have to be, honestly. You know. Akin to Juggernaut in Deadpool 2, really.
Yeah, I heard a rumor floating around that Rhino in this movie is supposed to be like a shape-shifting man instead of a mechanical suit. So I was like, if this is true,
you think he will shape-shift into like exaggerated Rhino and not actually be a man in a Rhino suit then is what you're thinking they're going to do, probably?
That's what the rumor was. I'm not crazy about it, but if they make it look good, I'll buy it.
Yeah, probably more like the Lizard from this Amazing Spider-Man series than like Rhino from the comics, where he's just in a
and you see his little round
like a rhino round suit that he cannot take off.
Yeah.
I loved the Paul Giamatti Rhino, Taylor. Blake was not a fan of Giamatti as Alexi.
Yeah, I liked his outfit, just not Giamatti being the character.
Yeah. Let's go back to Kraven for just a second. So they did release an image of Aaron Taylor Johnson in the Kraven outfit.
He looks pretty good.
He looks freaking yoked, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a great cast choice, honestly. Because, I mean, you look at him, he makes you feel like he's Kraven. Hopefully, I'm sure his acting is going to bring it to the screen as well, because he's a good actor. So, but yeah, I think they did a great cast choice with him for Kraven, for sure.
It will be a cinematic miracle if I give a shit about Kraven, even with Aaron Taylor Johnson playing him in a live-action film. So, if they pull that off, they've got my fandom. I will be ass in seat for every, well, I will be anyway, but for every Sinister Six film that Sony wants to put out, I'll be there, you know.
Watch this be Sony's, and I hope it is. God, I hope it is. Watch this be Sony's
What's up, Bianca?
Great movie. Hey,
was that for me?
Yeah.
Oh,
said, hey, DJ.
Hey, Bianca. Nice to meet you.
But yeah, I don't know. I'd be happy if Sony, like, this is the movie they get on the ball and start getting their shit together. That'd be great. Because, I mean, man, they could do so much more cool stuff to add to the MCU if they ever want to intertwine it throughout the times, you know?
Maybe that's what they're going for, is getting some of that market share so it's worth Disney making a proposal to, like, buy the Sony rights back. Maybe maybe they're looking over at Fox like, hey, we could use some of that money.
Oh, see, what else on the list?
PS5 production's been behind. We could use a few bill over here.
So, speaking of Sony got plays Baron Mordo in the MCU. They are actually eyeing him and made him an offer for the next villain role in Venom 3.
So Mads Mikkelsen?
Huh?
Mads Mikkelsen?
No, Baron Mordo.
Oh, okay, never mind. That's a whole different actor.
Yeah. So they actually, it's not been confirmed if he accepted or anything yet. But yeah, because, you know, Owen Wilson, they actually offered him a role in Venom 3, and he was just so busy with filming and stuff, he turned it down.
Oh, the rare political comment in our chat. So he turned it down.
Owen Wilson turned it down, but there's been no confirmation if the guy that plays Mordo has accepted it or turned it down, but they have approached him to be in the next villain role in Venom 3, but they have not actually told us what that character would be. So that's still kind of up in the air.
Another symbiote, I'm guessing. Maybe they're going for Null.
Ooh. Oh yeah,
maybe they're going for Null now. Maybe they swing and a miss with Carnage. Maybe they're like, you know what? Let's go bigger.
Great to Null.
Deontay, I didn't notice you were wearing the CI shirt tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, flexing on us with the merch. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I had to sneak that in there too. Like,
yeah, if you're trying to get you some Comically Inclined merch, go to comicallyinclined.com, click that merch tab, and check out the sweet, sweet swag we've got for you.
So I'm actually not as cool a shirt as a CI shirt or Danny shirt, but I do have some new Rockstars merch shirt on of What If that I've not been able to wear in 2 years until now.
So.
Nice.
Speaking of losing weight,
you finally grow up.
Deontay's been killing it. What have you lost now since you joined Be Chosen?
I just dropped down from 235 to 220, a whopping 15.
15 pounds. Yeah. You've been in it for what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Results are blowing my mind right now.
It's awesome.
I'm doing the opposite. I'm in a bulking phase. So really trying to, you know, get swole. So
we'll introduce Danny to Kwaku to get him hooked up.
For sure. Next on the list, Agatha, just a small little confirmation. There's been kind of some talks about it or whatever, but the newest person, I'm trying to think of what her name is. Anyways, the newest person that we know is going to be an actress on there. She's not got a huge role, but she said that there is quite a few musical numbers that's going to be in this series. So another little stepping outside the box, you know, which Marvel's been doing some, you know, WandaVision worked out great. Honestly, if WandaVision turned out so great, I guarantee Agatha's going to be right there with it. But yeah, doing some musical numbers. Just really hope it's not Rogers the musical.
I'm wondering if the MCU, if Marvel Studios is trying to get something on Broadway, because it's one of the only entertainment avenues they've never been able to crack. They had Turn Off the Dark, which I don't even think Marvel was a party to that. That was the most deadly Broadway performance or Broadway musical ever done. That was such a huge failure that they scrapped the whole damn thing. But there's really been no attempt since then to put anything Marvel on Broadway. But I just see they keep adding more and more music to what they're doing. And I wonder if that's an attempt to get that in people's minds so that when they decide to finally put something on stage, if it's a little more acceptable.
Yeah, Taylor, we talked about that on the last podcast you didn't attend.
It was last week, Taylor. We did discuss the Adam Driver as Reed Richards. I think that in general, none of us were really all that excited about it. But I mean, they'll give us what they give us. I'm just hoping it'll end up being not Adam Driver.
I finally watched 65. Is that what it's called? 66 or 65?
Oh, Turok's the movie.
Oh, bingo. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Have y'all watched that?
I have not.
It actually wasn't bad. I kind of like the idea of what they did. It was actually a species of humans way before, around the prehistoric times, but in another galaxy that came through to Earth. And that's kind of what happened was he came through at the prehistoric time and was like the first man on the planet. So
wow,
that was kind of neat. LA took that and did it, but it was entertaining. It wasn't like, oh my God, it's so well written and played out, but it's worth seeing once.
Kenpachi, I do want to mention Lin-Manuel Miranda is in Disney's pocket with Encanto and some of the other movies they've done. Moana, he did all of the music for that. So he's right there. I don't know how much of a transition they need to get him into making musicals for them, or if that's the case, if he's kind of inspiring this with Marvel. Hamilton's the biggest Broadway production since Les Mis, and it's like not even close how different the two are in performance and money making. So, I could see Marvel trying to get in there.
Absolutely.
Well, it's on streaming services, you know. I mean, come on. That's a long enough time.
So. Travel back 65 million years and come forward and then give us a spoiler alert.
Right. let's see. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So we get this new clip released, and we get the first uncensored F-bomb in the MCU.
Nice.
So, we've had, censored out or cut off too soon where, in MCU with Spider-Man, like, what the? And all kinds of stuff. But, Chris Pratt is getting to drop his F-bomb, the one and only, for the PG-13 rating.
I'm a little upset that it's not Samuel L. Jackson that got to do it.
I know.
There's a meme.
Of all people, that's the man that deserves to get to drop it in the MCU.
Exactly. Like, come on, Nick Fury gets dibs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just like us. We get to drop one, and Samuel motherfucking Jackson is the one doing it. So
exactly.
And there it goes. Just like that. Also, no warning on that one, guys. Sorry.
Oh, but yeah, we can talk about that clip, the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 clip later after we hit Riverville, but I had to throw that little piece in there. So, Jonathan Majors, the woman that, that kind of initiated what might have happened, may not have happened. So she is actually a movement coach on Ant-Man 3 for that Marvel movie. She was listed in the credits as a movement coach. That being said, there has already been proofs of a whole bunch of angry texts that have been, exposed from her, a whole bunch of threats to him from her, 32 missed calls, and her texting him threatening suicide. So there's no telling, where this may go, on which route it is, if, this happened or not. But this is just another update on some things that's uncovered on this journey of seeing what happens to Jonathan Majors.
We have to be very careful being the court of public opinion as opposed to actually having information that nobody else is going to see. I think we probably learned our lesson with the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, but if we didn't, I would like for it not to be the case that Jonathan Majors is this kind of human being, but also if that is the case, yeah. I mean, he deserves to be punished for it. That's just at the end of the day, that's what it is. And Marvel can recast Kang, and it's not that big of a deal. It is not more important that we have Jonathan Majors playing Kang in the MCU than that he's out there assaulting women.
Oh, yeah. Treating people, 100%.
At the end of the day.
But yeah, fingers crossed that's not the case and that's not true. I'm really hoping.
Yeah, same.
Blake made a good case that helped me out with Adam Driver becoming Kang if need be. That's where I think he belongs.
Yeah, I love the I don't hate the idea of Adam Driver as Kang. I don't think they're going to whitewash the character. I think that would be
that would hit some sore spots probably.
Yeah, it would be akin to them casting a white dude as T'Challa.
War Machine,
or War Machine. Yeah, Rhodey definitely is not white.
Let's see. So now on Disney Plus, in case you're just a huge Spider-Man lover and you hate having to pop around to different streaming services to watch which Spider-Man movies, you know, whether they be the Tobey Maguire, the Andrew Garfield, now all 14 Spider-Man movies and shows are on Disney Plus to stream at your convenience. So you don't have to bop around to streaming services. All one-stop shop.
I wish that I had known this was coming because I have purchased all of the non-Disney Spider-Man appearances on Amazon Prime and have them just so I can watch them.
Well, damn.
Yeah, damn.
Well, now if you ever feel, you know, a little lazy with the thumb, you're like, I don't really feel like swapping over to Amazon. You don't have to.
That's valid. That's valid. I will say... So I was trying to watch John Wick 2 with John Wick with my brother the other day. We were trying to watch John Wick 2. And so they have it on, I want to say it's on Paramount Plus or Peacock. It's on one of the two. And so I was trying to watch it and it has commercials. And I was like, why am I paying for this streaming service for the movies to have commercials?
That sounds like Paramount Plus.
It made me a little angry. Like, I'm paying for the premium package on streaming this, and then I had to watch commercials? Thank you. Thank you, Cameron. Yeah.
Okay.
No, thank you. Why? What the hell? Why is that? Ben, which brother? It was Jamaica.
It was my brother Jamaica. Yeah, I agree, Cameron. Tom Holland is still the best so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hands down. Hands down.
Yep.
Tom Holland is the best overall Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire was the best Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was the best Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And Tom Holland, in my opinion, is the one that embodies both at the same time the best.
Absolutely.
100%. Also, flash screenings are happening. So we're getting some kind of trickle, you know, non-spoiler reviews and opinions on The Flash. And believe it or not, people are like, man, this is a movie that is probably one of the best DC movies to come out. They said it's hilarious. Probably the funniest DC movie that's been made. They said that literally there's some things in there that nobody's going to expect. That's a huge surprise. And you get to see The Flash also with a lot more powers than we have ever seen on screen different areas. So, but a lot of people are like, oh man, watch this end up, you know, being the one we crapped on the most and it being actually pretty decent. I don't know. I'm still not holding high hopes for it until I go see it and then I'll make my call. I'm not going to go in there just expecting it to be phenomenal no matter what the screening reviews are. So
I feel like one of the main things that's going to drive this movie to be good, really good, is the Michael Keaton return as Batman. I think the nostalgia factor for that is stronger than having the two Spider-Men join Tom Holland. I think it's stronger than the bit that we got in Multiverse of Madness. I think that having the guy that single-handedly started the end of Batman being the most popular DC movie character, reprising the role of Batman in our adulthood, is probably the determining factor of whether this is who's got their phone vibrating in, because it is coming right through the sound of the dealio.
Not me.
Deontay. Anyway. So I think that it's riding a strong wave of nostalgia. I am interested to see what they're going to do with that going down the road. The things that we're not expecting to see or that we don't know are coming, leave them that way. I don't want them spoiled before I get there.
Yeah. I would like to see a Supergirl or a Keaton Carey for this movie.
Oh, Carrie Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I would like to see a little bit more of Ben Affleck just because of the fight scenes when he's in the suit, but...
Yeah, the cool thing with the Ben Affleck appearance is that he's going to be in the blue and gray. A little bit closer to the daytime Batman sequences. Yes, that's cool, Taylor. And that's always a sign of the quality of the film if they don't darken every scene that the superhero's in, which thankfully they're not doing that. And God, I know that just based on the trailers, I already like the Ezra Miller Flash in this movie. And that's like, don't hate the art, hate the artist, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I don't know. I do wonder if we're going to get the Thomas Wayne Batman, or if Michael Keaton's Batman is going to play the Thomas Wayne role from Flashpoint.
I think that's a good idea. I like your idea of that. I think it would make more sense. I think it would be, I don't know, I just really like that. I hope that's the route they go. I noticed that, you noticed since the last trailer where he pulls the cowl off his head and like his hair's all crazy looking. Like now his hair looks a lot more maintained. Trimmed, maintained, completely different style and everything. It looks nothing like that last trailer. So I don't know if it was one of those deals where they had a lot of people making fun of it. Kind of like this, and they changed it real quick or something. I don't know.
To speak to what Taylor just said, it is interesting if this resets the DC movie universe in a good way, and they use Flashpoint, that's like flashpointing Flashpoint, because Flashpoint gave us the New 52, which sucked. So and then they had to go back. And
one of the people that watched the screening, I do know that they said this was, so I didn't know this is what this was going to do. They said this is the perfect movie, the way they laid it out and wrote it. It was a perfect transition of ending the old DC era and carrying it into the new. So I think this one, from the way I read that, maybe I'm reading this wrong, this might actually, be, in one movie, be the end of that and have the birth of this new one that they're going forward with. So
I think that we're going to get hints at the new DC universe at the end of it, because that Barry's going to reappear in a world where he's going to reappear in this changed world with the new superheroes or whatever story we're going to get. Like maybe we'll get an established Superman when he comes back. And then the Superman story will actually be a prequel or whatever. It'll take place further back in the timeline when it debuts. There's nothing saying that whenever he comes back forward that all these superheroes aren't in full swing superhero mode, and then we get the stories of how they got there later.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of DC.
Oh, dude, Dial H for Hero was good. You are right. That was good in the New 52. Them killing Superman off again and then revealing that he wasn't really Superman. Super interesting. But some of those changes they made with like Earth 2, some of those characters, the Alan Scott changes, I just wasn't a fan of it. And overall, they kept the good stuff from New 52 and it's still canon in the current DC universe. And they washed everything else away with the Midnight Hour? What was it? The Watchmen crossover they did with DC that fixed the issues with the New 52.
Wally West got like the Martian, or excuse me, Dr. Manhattan powers?
When they made Wally a murderer and then it turned out that he wasn't a murderer, they just ruined everything about Wally West for no reason whatsoever. Like Doomsday Clock. Thank you, Ben. Anyway, sorry, Blake.
No, you're good. Hey, squirrel. Gunn announces. So a lot of people are asking Gunn and are really curious because, you know, his past movies and shows he's made, Peacemaker, Guardians of the Galaxy, they're all comedic centered, you know, and they're great comedy. But he is actually reassuring that Superman Legacy will not be comedy centered like his past films. He's like, you know, you can take a lot of these characters that aren't as well known. You can pretty much do whatever you want with them. He's like, and that's why I did that with these. He said, when this being Superman, these movies that's been done over and over and over and over, he's like, you know, to do it right, I can't do this with the comedy like I have these other characters. So it will not be comedy centered. It will be, I mean, straightforward, you know, on a serious level. So,
and we've seen that from him before. Brightburn is not a comedy.
Mm-hmm. This is true. This is very true.
I mean, he's made non-comedic films as well with a darker or more serious tone. He needs to find a balance between the two, because that's where Silver Age DC lives.
Mm-hmm. And by him doing this with the Superman Legacy, you know, if it turns out great, which I mean, I think there's a great chance it's going to, you know, it's going to show how well balanced of a director he is actually between Guardians and Peacemaker than this and Brightburn. I mean, it's going to show a very well balanced director, you know, on his portfolio.
Billy, they tried the Richard Donner tone in Superman Returns and it flopped. I mean, it doesn't mean they did it correctly. I kind of would rather have like the All-Star Superman as the model for the new Superman we get.
Yep, I do not know what that is.
You don't know what All-Star Superman is? Deontay, you familiar?
I have no clue.
So All-Star Superman was kind of like the Ultimate Comics line for Marvel. Brandon Routh did redeem himself later in life with Scott Pilgrim and then also as the Atom and then the Kingdom Come Superman from that crossover. So All-Star Superman was a retelling of Superman's story where it's in a new world and they kind of clean up a lot of the continuity and they basically the story they tell, and I don't want this to be the story that they tell for DC Universe, but the story that they tell is Superman's last days. But it gives you this Superman who's kind of a great merging of the Silver Age and then the 1950s era Superman. I would love to see that where you get some of that like 1950s nostalgia that like, gee, Lois, I don't know like how Superman saves the day and nobody can figure it out. Some of that. But then maybe some of the more heavy hitting stuff, you know, the stuff that came up with like when they got around to the Doomsday story arc or some of the other darker storylines that Superman has had. Not that I want them to lean dark, but if you're going to give me something serious, give me the tongue in cheek Superman plus some serious, which actually, now that I'm thinking about it and saying it out loud, is very close to the Richard Donner Superman. So yeah, Billy, give us Richard Donner Superman.
Last but not least, another trailer that was viewed at CinemaCon, but we weren't able to see it. So we got trailer description was Aquaman 2. And you know, these are just pouring in as awful. I mean, it's so bad Jason Momoa is refused to play Aquaman ever again as this character. So we get a clip of Amber Heard in it. We get a clip of a whole bunch of random things, and one of them is zombies. We get some clips of zombies in this movie.
Do you think we're getting a nod toward the DC storyline or we're getting a nod towards the Blackest Night storyline?
I have no idea.
Or do you think it's none of that?
I'm going to say it's probably none of that. I'm going to say it's somebody's like, oh, let's just throw in some zombies. I mean, from the way they're saying this movie's put together, it's bad.
And then Andy Lincoln shows up for no reason.
Now that would be okay.
He's like, coral? Look at the coral. I'm done. Sorry.
And that's with the December 20th release date. So,
I'll probably find something else to do that day.
Yeah.
I love probably finish my Christmas
shopping on that day.
Right. For last minute shopping.
Yeah.
I actually might be in Orlando then.
So, y'all have anything to add to that I might have left off or didn't come across news wise?
I didn't come across any crazy news stories in the last week that you haven't covered.
Cool. Nah, same for me.
Well, that's this week on Rumor Mill. These rumors have been milled.
Welcome back. So we got some new clips from Guardians of the Galaxy, that trailer dropped. One of them was the characters naming themselves. Rocket finally revealed how he got his name, and he wanted to take his friends on a ride to the stars on a rocket that he was going to build, and so that's why he took the name Rocket. I do believe in the comics he is Rocket Raccoon, not just Rocket. So I love that they came up with that whole thing where like don't call him a raccoon because he doesn't know what it is. But then we got a trailer as well besides that clip, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
The one with Drax laying on the couch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Chris Pratt is in the vehicle or whatever, and that's where he actually drops the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get, I want to say Mantis. He's trying to get Nebula in the car, and she can't figure out how to open the, like, 1970s, like, push the button.
And then also, I think